Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicelli. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on Answering the Call here on the new home for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. This program gives us a special opportunity to get to know better some of our ordained clergy and religious in our diocese so that we can learn about their spiritual journeys as they pursued a religious vocation in our church. I'm delighted to be spending the next 30 minutes with my special in-studio guest, Father David Schalk, from Christ the King. Welcome to 820, AM 820, Father.
Elizabeth, thank you very much for having me.
Father David Schalk is the pastor of Christ the King Catholic Church in Columbus, Ohio, and prior to that, he served at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Delaware, Ohio. And Father Schalk is one of our newer priests in the diocese, ordained in 2008. And again, welcome to Answering the Call, Father. And as a brief background for our listeners, I know that Father Schalk hails from Pickerington, Ohio, and he was the youngest of six children in a family that served as active parishioners at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish. Father, you mentioned to me that two adults in your early life had made somewhat of an impression on you regarding the faith, and that was your grandmother and your pastor. So can you tell us a little bit about your growing up years and the impact of these two people on your life?
Well, yes, my grandmother, my father's mother, I recall her efforts in teaching me the Our Father and the Hail Mary. I have memories of spending time at her house watching her praying the rosary. I knew that the faith was terribly important to her. And of course, this was a woman whom I loved greatly. And I think without even knowing it, she provided a beautiful witness to our Catholic faith. So I don't know, I would say that it was more of a subtle influence in my vocation. She always wanted one of her sons to be a priest. Well, that did not exactly pan out. That was not in the cards, not in the Lord's plan, because none of her sons became priests. She was hoping that perhaps one of her grandsons would become a priest, and it just so happens that I am the youngest grandson, so I am the only ordained priest out of all my cousins, and I'm happy to remember her in my prayers and to remember her influence in my vocation. With regard to my pastor growing up, Monsignor Steve Hawkins, he was the pastor at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish out there in Pickerington. And he was an example of a joyful priest, truly beloved by his parish family. And he, every now and again, would invite me to consider a vocation to the priesthood. When I was younger, I more or less dismissed those ideas. But again, it was a very subtle influence, and his witness, more than anything else, impacted me in my vocation.
And so that was kind of K through 8 time period. And then something happened to you in high school.
It's true. In high school, as I mentioned earlier, the priesthood was not really on the radar whatsoever. I was planning on becoming a civil engineer. My oldest brother is a civil engineer, and I was hoping to study engineering in Atlanta at Georgia Tech. However, senior year in high school, I went on a trip, a youth group mission trip to Appalachia. And we distributed Christmas dinner and some food and some blankets to some families in need down there. And the weather was horrendous and the hours of labor were long, but it was an incredible trip. And I remember coming home from that trip thinking, service is so very important to me. And I knew that I had to have service as a part of my life for the rest of my life. And I was very, very attuned to that part of myself, that desire to serve. So we have that experience. Then also, more importantly, during my senior year in high school, Seton Parish began perpetual adoration. And one of the coordinators asked if I would sign up for 1 hour to be present in front of the Blessed Sacrament, just 1 hour a week. And without knowing what I was getting myself into, I signed up for an hour of adoration. So as a senior in high school, I was there in that Blessed Sacrament chapel from 11 p.m. till 12 a.m. every Sunday evening. And there in the silence of that chapel, my prayer was quite profound. Perhaps not at first. I was simply explaining to the Lord my plans and asking him to pave the way before me as I went to Atlanta to study engineering, to meet a Southern Belle and live happily ever after. But something changed. Perhaps in November, December, January, I began asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want from me? And in the silence of that chapel, in the silence of my heart, I heard his whisper. He said, Dave, you're called to the priesthood.
Wow.
So I'm, of course, startled, scared, but I had the courage to at least tell a trusted friend, and had the courage to meet with the director of vocations, and the courage, all by the grace of God, the courage to visit the Josephinum. And as soon as I stepped foot on the campus, I knew that that is where I was supposed to be.
So you didn't go to Georgia Tech to study engineering as you planned. Instead, you went to the Josephinum. Was that a surprise to your family and friends?
To say it was a surprise would be an understatement. Yes, they were very much surprised and shocked. I did not tell anyone of my decision, except for my parents, of course, and a handful of very close friends. But I did not tell anyone other than those select few of my decision until my high school graduation party.
Wow.
So the jaws hit the floor when I revealed the news that I was going to be a seminarian. But after they got over the shock, everyone really was supportive and made my decision to enter the seminary that much easier.
I would imagine, I would imagine, that being in that decision, that awareness in that part of your life that, you know, that you were being chosen, so to speak, you were being set aside for a special purpose that was really setting you aside from some of your friends. What kind of feeling is that like?
I suppose it's mostly gratitude. I am thankful for the vocation I've received. And I truly desire to be faithful to this vocation. So there's some trepidation as well. I'm in the very deepest part of my being, I want to be a good and holy priest. And I know it's an enormous responsibility. So if there's any feelings, it would be, I would say, yeah, a healthy mix of gratitude and intrepidation.
That's wonderful. After your four-year undergrad philosophy degree at the Josephinum, then you went on to Mundelein in Chicago. Can you tell us a little bit about seminary there?
Yeah, I very much appreciated my time in Chicago, and I am grateful to Bishop Griffin who sent me there to study. I had some fantastic professors, really outstanding scholars and theologians whom, well, shaped me by their teaching, by their classes. I really enjoyed the multitude of cultural experiences in Chicago. I got a taste of, I guess, the broader church, the Eastern church there. I remember being involved in parishes that were not just bilingual, but trilingual. I served as a deacon there in a parish that was English-speaking and Spanish-speaking and Korean-speaking. Mm. So, again, I'm very, very blessed to have had that opportunity to study in Chicago.
You're listening to Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and our guest today is Father David Schock, pastor of Christ the King Parish. Now, Father, you're probably one of the younger pastors in our diocese, and that must be a tremendous responsibility for a fairly new priest, because I know back in the day, a priest wasn't given a pastoral position until he probably had several years of priesthood experience. What's that process been like for you to suddenly take the helm of your own parish?
Overwhelming. I am learning every day, learning a lot. It's been a blessing to see so many others step up and come to my assistance, to be there, to support me. It is a big responsibility, and I am doing my best, but I know that the life of Christ the King depends on so many people, and as I said, so many people step up to make it happen, to make the grace flow within the life of that community.
And I know Christ the King is a unique parish in terms of its Hispanic population. So how did you acquire the knowledge of the language and the culture to serve Hispanic people in your ministry?
Well, I was studying Spanish since the seventh grade. I'm still studying Spanish, but it was providential that Pickerington Public Schools began a foreign language program when I was in the junior high. So I took Spanish in junior high, in high school, and then in college during my time at the Josephinum. Also, when I was studying theology in Chicago one summer, I was sent to Guadalajara to do a language intensive program there. So I have been studying Spanish for many, many years. I'm still, as I said, still continue to grow in my knowledge of that language. And as far as the cultural awareness, that was, I guess I fell in love with the Latin American culture, the Latin American cultures, I should say, during my time in the seminary at the Josephinum and then again at Mundelein, meeting Hispanics and praying with them and seeing their devotion and the liveliness of their faith. A lot of really eye-opening experiences for me, one of which was a pilgrimage I took to Mexico City to see the canonization of St. Juan Diego. I was there when John Paul II was there.
Wow. Tell us about it. I'm dying to know. Tell us about it.
No, I was there with a group of seminarians, and we had funny sort of experience. We did not know if we were going to be able to attend the canonization because there were just a limited number of tickets, but the Bishop of Brownsville, Texas actually promised our group of seminarians special seminarian seating at the canonization. So we thought for sure we'd be right up next to the Holy Father, but it turns out
by the tilma.
We were way, way in the back of the courtyard outside the basilica. So we had to watch everything on the big jumbotron that was set up. And that was the first time during that trip that I laid eyes on the tilma, that I saw Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it was love at first sight. She inspired me then and continues to inspire me, so much so that when I was ordained a priest, I made it a point to go on pilgrimage once again to Mexico City to offer a mass of thanksgiving at the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
And maybe for some of our listeners who may not know this story, Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared, or Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego in 1531, and the miracle was when she wanted the cathedral or a church built on that place. And when Juan made that request of the bishop, he wanted a sign, he went back. Our Lady gave him, first of all, roses that were growing in the winter. That was one miracle. But the greater miracle is when Juan Diego took those roses to the bishop and presented them, and they spilled out from his tilma, his cloak. The image of Our Lady was on the inside of that tilma. And so that tilma hangs in that cathedral in Mexico City 500 years later, intact, just under glass, and there's all kinds of miracles associated with that.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, and just the miracles continue to unfold. I think there was somewhere along the lines of 10 million converts after that apparition took place outside of Mexico City in 1531. Essentially, the entire nation of Mexico, or the Aztec people, became Christians.
Was experiencing that tilma, did that develop in you a devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe? Did you have a devotion to Our Lady prior to that?
Yes, I did. Again, that was instilled in me my time at the Josephinum. So I knew about her. In fact, I took a class on Our Lady of Guadalupe, an entire semester dedicated to learning more about her and the Aztec people that were so profoundly affected by that apparition. So I was eager to see her, eager to be in the basilica and spend time with the tilma, and of course to thank her for her intercession.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Father David Schalk of Christ the King Parish and talking about his service into the Hispanic population in Columbus. And I read somewhere, Father, that the Hispanic Catholic population in this country is expected to grow to about 50% by the year 2020. And we can certainly see the growth here in our own Diocese of Columbus. What would you say as pastor that you found to be some of the unique challenges in serving the Hispanic community today?
Well, there's always the language barrier. And as I said earlier, I'm trying to improve my Spanish and try and communicate more effectively with the people. So I mentioned that first, but it's not the greatest challenge. There's just a different experience of faith that these people grew up with, different expectations of the church and their priests, and trying to integrate those expectations, those hopes, dreams, and desires of the Latino people with those of the American community that's been here for hundreds of years. So, of course, we want integration instead of segregation, and we want to promote the unity without negating the diversity. So it's a big challenge, and I continue to ask for the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit, who of course gave us that miracle at Pentecost, overcoming language and cultural barriers and igniting the church and filling her with love. And I suppose that's what we need. We need an outpouring of love each and every day to bring our communities, Latino and otherwise, under the one banner of the Catholic faith.
That's beautiful. In your 4 years of ordination so far, what do you find most enjoyable about your vocation as priest?
Most enjoyable? Well, of course, celebrating the sacraments, the Mass, of course, is enjoyable. I don't know if that's the right word. It's what I look forward to the most every day, and especially on Sunday, celebrating the Sunday liturgy with my family, with my parish, to see everyone there gathered around the Word of God and the Eucharist. I love the Mass, and yeah, that's very much enjoyable. I also have a school at my parish, All Saints Academy, and I thoroughly enjoy spending time with the kiddos. They're a lot of fun, and I enjoy teaching them and spending time with them. So they are a light for sure in my priesthood.
And that's a delight to hear, because we really do need priests to be, you know, in our school and making a presence for these children, because, you know, what better way? As I've been speaking to some of the priest guests we've had on this show, many of them will cite the priests and the sisters they met in school, you know, as the beginnings of a calling for themselves to pursue a religious vocation. With all the demands on priests today, I know it's got to be important to stay spiritually and emotionally and physically fit for this vocation. So what are some ways that you do that? Let's start spiritually. How do you stay spiritually grounded as a priest?
Well, I would say that the very bedrock of my spiritual life would be the Liturgy of the Hours and the Rosary. I do my very best not to miss my daily Rosary. I feel like that's the best way to stay in Mary's arms. So yeah, a lot of fruit I've seen from the daily Rosary.
And what about physically? I thought I heard that maybe you were attempting to run the Columbus Marathon?
That is correct, Elizabeth. I attempted to run the Columbus Marathon. I like running, and it's a hobby of mine. So it's a good way to stay in shape. So I trained for the 2011 Columbus Marathon diligently, hundreds of miles. Unfortunately, as I was running the marathon that fateful morning, I tweaked my knee about mile 4 or 5 and was unable to complete the marathon. So still recovering from that injury, slowly but surely, and I'm going to do my darndest to run in the 2012 Columbus Marathon.
Oh, good for you. Well, we'll root for you for that. And as you look back now, Father David Schock, now some priests are looking back 30 years and 35 years. You're looking back 4 years. But, you know, or looking back in your life, really, how would you say that God has prepared you for your role as priest today?
Well, I can see the design of his providence in so many ways. It's, of course, in the people he has placed in my life. I have two wonderful parents who showered me with love when I was young, and I think I am now able to share that love with my family as a spiritual father. Mm-hmm. I can see so many great priests in my life. I can see so many wonderful Catholics who have time and time again lifted me up by their prayers and their example of faith. So I don't know if that's specific enough or if that's too broad, but yes, the Lord's charity, his grace is abundant and apparent for sure all throughout my life.
That reminds me of Saint Therese, who said her vocation is love. I mean, I think that's absolutely essential, really, for all of us in doing God's ministry. Did your grandmother live long enough to see you become a priest?
My grandmother passed away in December of 2006, and I was ordained a deacon in May of 2007. So she was unable to see me as a deacon or as a priest, but I am confident, knowing of her sanctity, I'm confident that she was present at the ordination. And I still pray for her and celebrate a mass on her behalf every now and again, but I'm sure she's praying for me too.
I'm sure she is. Father David Schock, it's been such a pleasure having you on this show today on Answering the Call and sharing your faith journey. It inspires us as we seek to hear and answer God's call in our own lives. I'm Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for this program. I'm also a Catholic speaker and the author of 14 books for adults and young people, including Where Do Priests Come From, Where Do Sisters Come From, and Where Do Deacons Come From. And I invite you to visit my website, elizabethficicelli.com, for more on my books and speaking. And I hope you'll join us next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and Sunday at 4 p.m. for another edition of Answering the Call. God bless. And Father, would you end this show with a blessing?
Of course. Let us pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fill us, Lord, with your mercy, grace, and love, that we might do your will in all things. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye. We'll see you next week.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.